Recently, they created data security requirements tailored to your size of business. And we're going to see that more. We've also seen a proliferation. We're going to see this big time in the years ahead. I'm convinced of the CCPA. And I can just hear groans coming through my computer here. But we're going to see a proliferation of CCPA, I suspect, until Congress or if Congress decides to act with something more federal in scope. Also seeing an increase in global data protection laws modeled after the GDPR. So if you're wondering who's going to win out, it's with the global space, U.S. style privacy regime or a European style privacy regime. I think the jury's back in on this one. I said before, I'm not sure anybody heard anything, but you know, if you've done business in Brazil or Australia, Japan, South Korea with the Personal Information Protection Act, Thailand, any number of places, you know that those countries have European-style, GDPR-style privacy regimes in place. And I know that the comparison between CCPA and GDPR is totally overdone. I've heard it before, and there are some significant differences. But yes, even here, too, we've got the CCPA, which you can draw some parallels to GDPR. Let me say real quickly the last point. We're noticing sort of a developing standard of care, at least an attempt to try to define one. We're also noticing the use of other laws to provide that standard of care. And so let me give you an easy example. And I was just talking to one of your later speakers today about this issue. Plaintiffs' class action attorneys are obviously starting to use the CCPA and the requirements of the CCPA to try to impose some sort of standard that could be enforced through another law. Why another law? Because CCPA has a private right of action, but it's limited. Right. So if I can use the requirements of CCPA to establish a baseline or a standard and then use, for example, California's unfair competition law or Texas's DTPA law with a private right of action to enforce those standards, it's a bit of an end run around the lack of a private right of action in CCPA itself. Let me go straight to the recommendations. And I hate to do it this quickly because there's a ton here I wanted to talk about. Here's some practical recommendations. We don't know where all this is going to end up. Is migration from laws from one state to the next, the use of different laws to provide standards of care to be asserted by other laws. We don't know where that ends up, but here's what we can do today. We can identify the commonalities across all of those laws. You know, what are the requirements in common? And while I'm not arguing that they're a standard of care at all, I suspect that other people might. So when I start to look at all of those various laws, I see access controls, I see authentication measures, I see vendor management, I see employee training, I see annual or biannual risk assessments. You know, sometimes I see encryption. And sometimes, very few times, but sometimes I see multi-factor authentication, things like that. If we can start to check some of the boxes that we see used over and over, I think that's something we can do now. And by the way, begin to record that you're doing that, document that in writing. I think that's a good immediate next step. Also, rely on your external providers to provide some sort of benchmarking, right? You don't want to be the slowest kid on the block, right? So figure out from external providers. You can pay people to do this. You can pay for benchmarking, as you all know. But if you're in-house, you use attorneys, you use forensics investigators, use other third parties. Press them to give you some sense for what they're seeing across their client base. And by the way, and attorneys are going to hate me for this, but that I don't view that as a billable conversation, right? I view that as client relation, making sure that everybody is fully informed and up to date on what folks are doing. I'm going to have to stop it right there in light of the difficulties. Molly, I'm going to flip us right back to litigation. If you could give us the high-level oversight and some quick takeaways, that would be great.
Sure. So very, very quickly, high level, privacy litigation, it's only going to increase from here forward. Standing is going to continue to be an issue. You'll see motions to dismiss in a lot of these cybersecurity and privacy cases based on the differences in the circuits. We're going to be seeing ongoing biometric and increased biometric privacy litigation. We are expecting to see litigation based on healthcare personal data from COVID-19 related activity. We are also expecting to see additional whistleblower FCA claims against companies based on cybersecurity standards. So what does that mean? Practical recommendations. Always consider your choice of forum on standing issues. And note that the circuits are going to split off in different ways depending on the type of harm you're dealing with within the privacy field. how your circuit handles biometric cases is not necessarily how they're going to be handling TCPA cases. So be aware of that. You need to be conserving your budget for litigation if you're a company that handles data, whether that's health data or any personal data. And be aware that you will need budget early on for motions to dismiss there. So keep that in mind. And finally, regarding these whistleblower cases, if you are a federal contractor, or if you even are aware that particular product might be or is likely going to a governmental source, make sure you're reviewing the cybersecurity standards and disclosure requirements. They are ever ongoing. They are updating. If you have an older contract with the government, monitor that compliance on an ongoing basis. Go back and look at your contract and make sure that you are up to date on what the current standards are. So that was a very quick run through of things we are expecting to see coming up. And I will get further detailed later on in the day.